Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it is the second game of the rest of our lives, and we are very, very excited for some Sunday night football. What do you think was the main takeaway from yesterday's powwow? Was it the fact that the offensive coordinator talked about identity? Was it the fact that the special teams coordinator talked about Velus Jones Jr.? Or is there larger issues afoot, like whether or not the wide receivers are all available?
Yeah, you're hoping the wide receivers are available. But, again, when you bring that up, that topic, I'd emphasize, I think they're in a pretty good spot with Roman Dunze, right? Knowing that it's not a serious or long-term injury, maybe not even like a multi-week thing. So dodging a bullet there with him is really big. And then I thought about this yesterday when I was talking to Chris Beatty, the wide receivers coach. You know, it's a sort of a nagging heel injury for Keenan Allen, which you want to have cleared up and is going to require, you know, rest, that there isn't a scope for this or a magic pill or anything for this heel issue. But if you flipped him around and you had a really minor knee issue for Keenan Allen and a heel issue that was going to be nagging for Rome, that would be a heck of a lot worse, because Keenan is a tactician, is a route runner. He knows how to get open, and he probably doesn't need a ton of practice time. You can turn around and say, well, hey, he was targeted 11 times and only had 4 catches from Caleb Williams, and obviously the timing needs to be better. Absolutely. But the rookie is the one who really needs the practice time. So hopefully maybe Keenan can go Sunday. I wouldn't rule Rome out, but I'm sure they're going to err on the side of caution with him, and maybe both of them are going in the near future.
Heard from Eric Washington on Thursday, the Bears defensive coordinator, talking about the Texans' run schemes, and they run the ball well, especially with Joe Mixon. Brad, I think the Bears, their adjustments in the second half made a difference. Obviously, maybe just they were playing at a higher level. Also interesting, this is a big game for Big Bill, Andrew Billings, who had a very good opener. Curious if they addressed the fact that he didn't just play in his typical defensive tackle nose position. He played a little, it looked like, three technique as well. Is that a subtle change? How significant is it?
Yeah, that's a subtle change that kind of unveiled in preseason a little bit. He even took one snap as a defensive end, which, you know, I don't know if we're going to see a whole lot of that, right? I mean, he's super talented. Don't get me wrong, but he's not a guy that's going to necessarily bend the edge. And the Texans' run game is for real after being non-existent a year ago, right? They could not run the football in C.J. Stroud's rookie season, which is one thing that I think made Stroud's success a year ago even more impressive. Like, that was a bad running offense a year ago. I think they ranked 22nd in the National Football League in terms of 96.9 yards a game. And the yards per carry was awful. I believe they were 29th or 30th in yards per carry. So what do? the trade for Joe Mixon, and he just pounded the ball. 30 carries in the win over the Colts, and you go back and they ran the ball more than they threw it in week one against Indianapolis. And a year ago, the Houston Texans offense had a grand total of five games in which it had more rushing attempts than pass attempts, five of them. And there were seven games where there were 10 pass attempts or more than carries. So they have found a way to balance out their offense. That makes Billings important. I was having this conversation with our friend Jeff Joniak the other day. If you said name the top three players on the roster the Bears can't afford to lose, you're going to get all sorts of different answers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure every reply is going to include the quarterback, Caleb Williams,
yes,
and Montez Sweat,
yes,
in some order. I believe you can make a legitimate case that the third guy on that list is Andrew Billings.
Whoa.
And that's with full and total respect for the player that Jalen Johnson has become. That's for total respect for DJ Moore and what he's done. I just think Billings, what he does and what they have
right
behind him
right
and around him
right
would make him third. And if you presented a list to me and he wasn't third, no problem. Because we're going to agree to disagree on a lot of topics. But if Billings isn't in your top five, you've made a mistake.
Yeah, I think that that's a legitimate thing to say, because I think what you said, there's nobody else like him on the roster. I don't know how you would replace him if anything happened. It is not, you know, they're already relying on, and I don't know, is Zach Pickens, would he be a guy that would move up if you were at full strength?
Hopefully he's right playing this week, because Zach Pickens was he was full participant in practice this week. I think it looks like it's trending toward Pickens being able to give it a go Sunday night.
What did you is Bayless on the active roster, or will he get a weekend off?
Oh boy. That's going to depend on how much stuff they have for him on special teams that doesn't involve him being asked to catch the football. If they've got him in three phases, I could see him being active. If he's not, I could see him not dressing. Like, you know, people sort of reacted right away to what Hightower said about Bayless yesterday. I was like, well, yeah. Like, I would have.
Yeah,
the reaction should have been, yeah, the reaction should have been if Hightower was like, we've got a lot of faith in Bayless. Or if it was something to that effect, right? In terms of, we got a lot of faith in Bayless catching the football, then I think you have a big reaction. But saying it's unacceptable, yeah, that's the obvious reply. And Bayless knows it too, right? You know. He's a big boy.
I kind of wish,
and he knows what he signed up for.
Brad, I kind of wish the coach mentioned that after the game. Like, I'm just saying. I know he's proud of him. Okay, he came back from that. But I think it's also, well, you know, you could just say, hey, that can't happen, but I am proud of the fact that he stayed in the game and we went to him on off. Anything like that might have worked, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. And then, in terms of Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, talking yesterday, he talked about getting an identity. It sounded like he was sort of taking the blame for Cole Kmet not having more snaps, which wasn't necessarily a solution in itself to everything that ailed them offensively against the Titans. But, you listen to it, you read what he said, and I'm not sure there's anything real clear in there. They go out and play better, and you'll feel like, okay, they had a better week of practice, they had a sharper plan, and they executed.
Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs. Then you have Tyrique Stevenson, Jalen Johnson, and Kyler Gordon. I know it's not a 3-on-3 tournament, but if you had such a thing, that would be fun to watch. And you wonder how these guys will match up at different times on Sunday, Brad. Who do you think has the edge in the Texans' passing game? The Bears' ability to stop it and match up with those receivers, or C.J. Stroud's ability to pick it apart?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. And, you know, one of the huge factors in that equation is going to be the pass rush, right? Because the coverage works hand in hand with the pressure that your linemen and any blitzers you have are able to produce. If I had to pick one right now, I'd probably say the Texans have a slight edge there based on the way they played last season and the performance of the Bears a year ago, which Jalen Johnson was fantastic, but you look at some of the passing statistics that the Bears allowed as a team a year ago, and there was a hell of a lot of room for improvement. They were 32nd in the league in yards per attempt for opposing quarterbacks, and some of those other things were way askew, and that's why you're looking at Tyreek Stevenson is a guy that the NFC Defensive Player of the Week this past week is a player who can and needs to take that big jump forward in year two. You know, we've got to see it, and it's a huge step up in class when you talk about defending Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans and then moving on to another AFC South team, the Houston Texans.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. And I know you've got a hammer, Brad, and if you had a hammer, you'd hammer in the morning. I'm just curious, when you look at the defense and the challenge and all of the other elements that David mentioned, the receivers. So Joe Mixon versus DeAndre Swift. Is there any way that the Bears get their running game up and going? I mean, when you look at it, Swift and the fact that he had a 20-yard carry at the end of the game and that kind of saved him and he wound up with 30 yards on 10 carries – shouldn't he get 20 carries? I mean, don't they need to carry the football more? They need more plays, and maybe one of the ways to do so is to move the chains, and maybe one of the ways to do so is to run the ball.
Yeah, it's just all got to be packaged and put together better, right? Mm-hmm. Because so much of their passing game in terms of play action and bootleg is built off the running game. So it just needs to sync up better. And I think they'll have an opportunity to sustain some drives, to stay on the field, to have drives that start at their own 30 and get deep into Houston territory. And, yeah, you want to see the handoffs. I don't know if they'll get to 20 with them because they've got some other backs, but why not hope you're in a position where you're successful enough and you're staying on the field to have, I don't know, 24 carries by running backs, right? Because the quarterback's probably going to have a couple runs in there. They've got some skilled guys in terms of end arounds. They hit a nice one last week for 14 yards. But if, just talking about handing it off to the backs, I think two dozen's a nice number to get to. You've got to stay in proper down and distance, though, right? You've got to move from first and 10 to at least second and 6. You're hoping you're in third and 2 or third and 1. Better than that, you get a first down every two plays and you stay at a third down altogether. They can accomplish some of that stuff. Yeah, I think we'll see some rushing statistics that you'll take a look at and you'll say, hey, that makes more sense with a rookie quarterback.
Brad, you look at the Bears' schedule, certainly you can make the argument that later in the year in December, going to San Francisco probably is the toughest challenge, but this is as difficult as any, I think. When Molly and I picked the Texans, Dustin went Bears. What is your prediction for Sunday?
Yeah, hold on, Dustin picked the Bears?
Yes. 19-17.
He's got to win in 12 games. I mean, he's got to get there.
Mr. Santos is very busy. 4 field goals and a touchdown. Maybe a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, well.
But Dustin's got to win.
Hopefully it's an offensive touchdown, right? that would be preferred. This is a stretch where they've got almost nothing but young quarterbacks on the schedule. Will Levis in year two, in week one. Everybody knows C.J. Stroud's in his second year. Next week they're at Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson is in his second year. Essentially, he's a rookie. He barely played a year ago. Then they've got to play Matthew Stafford, and he's about as good as it gets. But then they get second year Bryce Young. Then they got to go to London, and that obviously is a more experienced player in Trevor Lawrence. But come back from London, get a bye week, and it's Washington Commanders rookie Jaden Daniels. So it's nothing but young quarterbacks pretty much on the schedule. The Bears in Sunday Night Football have not been good, guys. Not been good. They've lost 7 consecutive games on Sunday Night Football, and not a one of them has been close, really. All of those games are 10-point losses or more. Some of them are much more lopsided than that. Of course, the Packers are mixed in there because the networks love the Green Bay Chicago rivalry in prime time. We know how that's gone for the Bears, but that's a trend that to me is more a function of them just not being a very good team. And if they're making the improvements that we believe they have, if they're prepared to show the growth that we are sort of expecting and looking for, I think that's a trend that could change moving forward here. But I picked the Texans to win the game 24-20.
All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate your time as always.
Safe travels, Brad.
Yep.
And go Mizzou.
Have a great weekend, guys.
And go Mizzou. All right, buddy. That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
24-20, Biggs, he says. I said 24-21. Low scoring game.
How come I said 26-22? We're both 4 points. We're both on even numbers, but you yelled at me.
I didn't yell at you. You raised your eyebrow because I wanted to know how you're going to get to 26 and then how you're going to get to 22. Just a little more unorthodox. That's all right.
I felt like he yelled.
15-11.
Why not?
That's 4 points. 15-11. How about that?
It's not even.
Okay. 29-25. Yeah. It's a very unconventional football score.
Not even.
That's all.
30-26. You wouldn't blink.
Yes, I would.
No, you'd love it.
How do you get to 26? We'll come back and talk about what Biggs had to say.
Yeah, I think that's worthy of comment. I'm curious, is Roschon Johnson, is he?
Who?
Yeah. Who? Yeah.
When's the last time he practiced?
Well, he had a toe, right? Is he still got the toe? Because they had to cap his plays last week.
I hope he still has his toe.
No, I mean, it's like when you say.
He went full Deion Sanders on his?
He's got a kidney.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right. 312-644-6767. Smully and Hall on the score.
Advice would you give to a guy like Caleb? He's with the number one pick. You were the number two pick. What kind of advice would you give a guy?
Be yourself. Be yourself. Understand whatever got you here is just good enough. You don't got to be superhero. You don't got to try to make all the plays. And sometimes the boring plays are good. But yeah, that's what the advice I would give to him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's CJ Stroud. He went on about Caleb a little bit. He was asked a couple of questions and he was great about it. He said that, he thought that Caleb Williams was a playmaker, and he thought that he was a multiplier. And he said that all he's got to do is find his rhythm, which he believes will happen, and everything will be fine. I mean, it was really interesting to hear him from a distance looking at the Bears talking about the quarterback.
Well, I think he's speaking from experience.
Yeah.
He certainly had one of the best rookie seasons by a quarterback in NFL history.
Maybe too good, frankly.
That is not an exaggeration, and that's an interesting that you say that. Too good because of the way it raised expectations?
Unquestionably.
Or
I mean,
for everybody?
For Caleb in particular,
yeah.
The next year, the first player.
Perhaps.
He was the second pick.
I think it's a standard that you want to reach for and try to meet and exceed if you're Caleb Williams. I found it interesting, though, how willing and effusive C.J. Stroud was talking about Caleb Williams.
Agreed.
And how reluctant, and I don't want to read anything into this. He wasn't reticent or anything. He was more reluctant to Caleb Williams to compare himself to C.J. Stroud. He was more like,
yes.
Hey, this is a very difficult league. Look at everyone else who struggled. He didn't lean into that comparison as much as I think a lot of us outside of this game want to or have.
It's an unfair comparison because there were a lot of different things going on that you don't see happening here in Chicago. Maybe the first of which is the degree of difficulty in the division.
Okay. I think that's fair to say too, but I also think it's an unfair comparison right now, even though it's understandable because it's incomplete. It's incomplete. You can look at what C.J. Stroud accomplished with the Texans and hope that Caleb Williams is going to have similar success. I think we're all there.
Oh, no. I mean, but I'm saying he had one of the best. It is not supposed to happen that way.
No.
Okay, it's not supposed to be as easy as he made it look. You're not supposed to have the success that he had. And you're not supposed to take that to the playoffs when you're coming into an awful team.
And teams don't usually make that leap.
No.
I mean,
no.
As much as we're talking about this week, understandably, C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams, we have tended to overlook D'Amico Ryans has emerged as an impact coach. I don't know how he did it. I'm surprised that he has, but he's one of the best young coaches in the NFL.
And Bobby Slowick is going to get a job somewhere. He was interviewing a year ago. He's a very young
yeah.
guy.
Did he take himself out of contention, or am I thinking of
did.
Ben Johnson?
I think, Ben Johnson took himself out of
contention. Both guys, though, were pursued,
wanted,
and both guys will be
yes,
head coaches likely
yes.
next year. And Bobby Slowick Jr. is a guy who we haven't dealt with a lot this week, but I think that when you talk about all the weapons and you talk about Joe Mixon coming and getting 30 carries in his first game with the Texans, it tells you that Bobby Slowick is a practical play caller. He's not tied into having to have his way, right? He's the guy that created, but his offense was designed so well that C.J. Stroud flourished as a rookie, but he also can pound it with the best of them if he has to.
His dad was the defensive coordinator here under Dave.
Yeah.
And they had a guy named Kevin Minifield. Bob would always be like, "Let's go, Minnie! Let's go, Minnie!" He would say things like that, which I adapted when we had a minivan, and I would be trying to pile the kids into the minivan. And I've heard my wife say to the kids, "Let's go, Minnie!" And I always laugh to myself because I'm doing an impersonation of Bob Slowick, and she's just trying to get these little kids in the car.
So you'll think of that when you see
him. I will think of that Sunday when he gets the Bears head coaching job next year.
He's not going to get the
Bears. Oh, wait a minute.
He's not going to get the Bears
did head coaching. Did I blurt that out?
Year. Yes, you did.
I'm sorry.
Is that your scenario?
Making a joke.
If that's your
David,
scenario, then the Bears are not going to lose 26-22. They're going to get blown out on Sunday night.
I'm just saying that because of your affection for your fellow Mexican man.
Oh, stop it.
I know. You have affection for your
I have respect for Matt Eberflus. I
know
do.
You do.
Yeah,
so
I do. I like him as a person.
So I was winding you up.
And I hope he has success as a coach.
I do too.
Now, to pay off the tease, Roschon Johnson has not been on the injury list, as we alluded to before the break.
Yes.
He was not on the injury list last Friday, so he was a healthy scratch.
But he was limited Wednesday and Thursday. They had a cap on the number of plays because he had a toe injury.
But we hadn't seen him much in preseason.
I know, but we hadn't seen him in preseason. When a guy doesn't practice, it's not unusual that he wouldn't be active for the game, especially when you got a couple of special teamers that are ahead of him.
Sure.
I think one of those special teamers might no longer be ahead of him.
Valus Jones is unlikely to be ahead of him.
I'm not naming names.
Well, I think when you're talking about roster spots and who's going to be active and who's going to be inactive on Sunday night, Roschon Johnson has not been on the injury report all week long.
Yeah.
The assumption would be that if he is a three-phase special teams guy,
he's available.
He's available, and he will be up. I'll be surprised. I don't want to – let me rephrase that. I'll be curious to see whether or not he factors into the Bears' running game, because Khalil Herbert, for whatever reason, has been somewhat neglected or ignored. We don't know where they stand in him, but he's not
– Some of us almost wanted to cut him.
Some of us did. I did. I know.
I didn't say who.
I wonder where he fits in now with Roschon Johnson available. We know what they think of him. And I don't know. This is a small thing.
I know.
But he's going back down to Texas. He's a Texas product.
Yes, he is.
And now he has an opportunity to make his debut Sunday night. What role will he play in the Bears offense as it tries to get going? What role could he possibly play in kickoff returns?
Well, these are excellent questions, and I think these are part of the things we'll be looking for. Again, this is bottom of the roster stuff. I think that Swift is the featured running back. I will be curious to see how many carries he gets in the game.
Yes,
and again, I think I'll be also super curious to see if the Bears can move the chains and if they can get more plays,
sustained drives.
They need
make
more
series
play.
Longer, have the ball longer, before, possess the ball, keep it, be, play keep away.
Before we start talking about who's being used and who isn't used, you got to see the number of plays they wind up with. Now, that doesn't apply to the tight end where the guy played less than half the snaps.
No, but it applies to keeping drives alive and keeping your offensive line intact, which brings us back to the injury report.
Yes.
We haven't even mentioned this. Ryan Bates did not practice yesterday.
He didn't practice this week.
So this rotation at right guard with Nate Davis, who got benched essentially in the opener, puts more pressure on him to perform up to the level that they're paying him, to play like the veteran that he is and not be a guy that looks like he's bored, disinterested, or ineffective as often as he did on Sunday.
If Ryan Bates with his shoulder is not available, then you better see a lot of Nate Davis. Other than that, you're going to be going to Bill Murray or to whomever.
There's no rotation without Ryan Bates, I don't think.
No. This is the idea of the rotation, in my opinion, was to get Bates up and running to take over as the starter.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not in the rotation, then the starter remains the same, and that's Nate Davis. I'll be surprised if after him not playing all week, he's back in a rotation on Sunday.
I would be surprised as well, and I think that's not good news for the Bears' offensive line because Nate Davis has not been performing up to his standard. And so you saw him 17 snaps or whatever he played on Sunday look a little overmatched.
All right, we got to get to a break because we're bringing in the man himself. The great Joe Fortma will be joining us.
Get your pencils and your scorecards and your paper ready.
Yes, get it out. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. He is our man in Vegas, and guess what? He's in Vegas. Joe Fortenbaugh joins us now from Sin City. Joe, we know you moved from Vegas, but you go back to Vegas, and now I'm confused about Vegas. I just love saying the name Vegas.
What are you doing there, Joe?
UFC 306, gentlemen. UFC 306, huge event at the Sphere this weekend. So I'm out here covering that for the company. We've been grinding. We've been putting out a lot of content. But forget about that. It's not about me. This is about something more important, okay? We got something we got to talk about here, and I don't know if you've discussed this enough on the radio station this week. This first part you most certainly have. September 8th, 2024, the Chicago Bears, 7-point victory over the Tennessee Titans. They give up 244 yards total to Tennessee. An elite defensive effort. I want you to go back in time. September 8th, 1985, the Chicago Bears defense in week one gives up 307 yards and 28 points in a week one win over Tampa Bay. I don't know. I'm not saying this is the second coming of 1985, but gentlemen, the tea leaves are there. Okay. Oh. The tea leaves are reading it.
Wow. Joe, that's great research.
You're worse than Dustin.
You got people, they're tingling right now hearing that comparison.
Hey, look, it's two data points, okay? So that might not be a large enough sample size for us to really have a great feel of where this is going to go. But I can tell you, in 85, it didn't start as good as this. Now, offensively, they scored 38 in that game. It looked a hell of a lot better than we just saw. But that's besides the point.
First of all, I read...
Where do you go from here, Molly, right? When I start with that, where do you even go from here?
Well, you've stopped me cold. I'm going back to the idea that you're in Vegas, because I read that the whole idea behind this, moving this to the... what's the name of the place? The Dome
Sphere.
Place? The Sphere. Excuse me. Is that Tom Brady came to town and invited Dana White to go to... the Sphere to see U2, and he got there and his mind was blown by the venue, and he got on the horn and called his people and said, listen, let's schedule something for us out here. And I can't believe that you can just do that, but I guess if you run MMA, you do whatever the hell you want to do.
Well, first of all, Brady's gotten enough credit for enough things in his life. I don't know if we need to go ahead and give him credit for this as well, but yes, a lot of that story, very, very accurate. Dana was at the U2 show here and decided, let's put on an MMA event. Now, he's also making it clear this is the only time he's going to do this here. This is wildly expensive. I don't think people realize how expensive this is. They said it was going to cost about four times more than any event UFC's ever put on, and I bet it's going to be more than that. John Anik, the lead play-by-play voice for the UFC, he was on our radio show last week. We were asking him about it. Just to do a dry rehearsal in the building costs $1 million. A dry rehearsal costs $1 million. They are keeping everything under lock and key for this, by the way. Like any of the guys I'm with that have gone over to the Sphere so far, you have to sign an NDA to get into the building that you will not film or take pictures of anything going on. They have a big show planned. They're going to be – it's Noche, which is the big celebration of Mexican fighters because it's Mexican Independence Weekend. So there's a big thing with that theme. There's going to be short movies playing up there in between fights. Each fight is going to apparently take place on, like, a different world. It's going to be wild. It's going to be really wild. So, if you have an opportunity to check it out this weekend, ESPN Plus pay-per-view, it is a massive undertaking on behalf of UFC and ESPN.
All right, Joe, let's get to week two with your 85 Bears reference. How many sacks will Denton Hampton have this week, and what else you got?
Yeah, I mean, Houston's in big problem if this current trend holds, so we should keep in mind. We'll start with Chicago. I would say this. If you want to bet the Bears this weekend, just wait. Wait. The 7 is likely coming, okay? The look-ahead here was Houston -3.5. Texans look very good in week one. Bears get the win, but the offense struggles a little bit. Number gets bet up to 6.5. The pros that are going to get involved with Chicago, they're just going to wait. Public money is going to probably come in on Houston. The bookmakers will likely take this to a touchdown just to see if anyone nibbles on it. And I think that's where you get some pro money. So if you're looking at the Bears, 7 would be the number. You don't need to rush. I would say this, and this is going to apply to the whole weekend for anyone rushing into Houston. Be careful based on what you saw in week one, okay? Week two is one of the best weeks for sports betting because of the overreactions that take place in week one. We spend all summer waiting for these games, and then we get this one data point, and then we all overreact, hence me talking about 1985 to open this interview, right? So I would say you want to start thinking zig versus zag in some of these spots. I think the Bears could be a decent play at 7. Other ones I'm looking at, be very careful playing the Colts against the Packers. Mm. All right, Malik Willis is going to be playing for Green Bay. Everyone's checking out on Green Bay because of the Jordan Love injury. Look, Malik Willis didn't look good in Tennessee under a coaching staff that got fired. What happens if Matt LaFleur gets more out of him, right? Just ask yourself, what happens if he gets more out of him? Anthony Richardson had some great plays. He had some miserable plays. This was Green Bay +3.5. It moved through the key number to 2.5. Be very careful with that game, okay? Very careful if you like the Colts. I like the Giants this week. I know, puke, disgusting, but you're catching 1.5. I'd play them on the money line. You're going on the road to play a Washington team where the defense just got torched by Tampa Bay, and Jaden Daniels is a rookie quarterback. He had some nice plays, but not great plays. As bad as New York looked, I think they're undervalued. I'd play them. I really like Seattle. We talked about it last week. I know they pushed on the number because of the backdoor touchdown. I'd lay the 3 in New England. I think the Seattle defense is very good, and I don't think they're appreciated for what they did last week. They were far better than the final score indicates. They took the two safeties, which were completely boneheaded plays. I don't know how you give up two safeties in one quarter, but you know what? When you gamble long enough, you see stuff like that on a regular basis. Dallas minus six, I would lay that. Really like New Orleans last week in the survivor pick, but I think they're going to be a little bit overvalued based on that performance. Offensive line traveling on the road, probably going to struggle a little bit. Your teaser of the week is going to be Detroit and Baltimore. Take Detroit down to 1.5. Tease it with Baltimore at 2.5. So we like the Giants this week. We like Seattle. We like Dallas. We like the Detroit-Baltimore teaser. I got involved at Green Bay at 3, but I can't tell you to do it at 2.5. So I would tell you there, just be careful if you're going to play Indianapolis. That game smells like a rat trap.
Anything in college, Joe? Because there's a Apple Cup.
Way to sell that one, Molly. I mean, you really, really got people fired up. Great state of Washington. I hope they're not listening right now.
How about
now.
Bama, Wisconsin? Anything on Bama, Wisconsin? That's a marquee matchup that doesn't happen
it's
every
like,
day.
It's like, hey, Joe, anything in, I don't know, who cares, right? Like, he's so floored from the 85 comment. He's really starting to think it through here that it could be true. All right, so we'll go chronologically. Tonight we'll give you a little action, not a big bet. Arizona, Kansas State, total 60. I'd play the over. Kansas State wants to run. Arizona can't defend the run. Arizona wants to pass. Kansas State can't defend the pass. You see where I'm going here. We should get some scoring. We'll go over 40. For the weekend, Utah State will go under 43.5. Cam Rising's dinged up. Based on the point spread move, it doesn't look like he's going to play. Utah State scored 0 points at USC last week. Utah's got a very good defense, and they've got Oklahoma State on deck. So I don't think they're going to want to show a whole lot of razzle-dazzle here. Get in, survive the game, get out. Wouldn't be surprised if Utah State covers. We'll go under 43.5. Speaking of that huge matchup with Oklahoma State and Utah next week, Okie State plays Tulsa. Take the 19 with Tulsa. They're at home. Okie State, this is like a classic Gundy flat spot here. They got very lucky in their win over Arkansas last week. They were outgained by 250 yards. They win in overtime. They get very lucky. And now next week they're hosting Utah in what could be their biggest game of the year. This game is wedged in between. It's a little sandwich spot. Not a good spot for Okie State. We'll take the 19 with Tulsa. I'll take the 3 with Florida over A&M. Mm. Florida's going to show us more DJ Lagway at quarterback. Dual threat, which is huge because a guy that can move, use his legs, can offset some of those issues with the Florida offensive line. This is A&M's first road game. They're heading out. The heat, the humidity, the offense hasn't looked very good. Give me Florida plus the 3. I'll take Pitt plus 1 in the backyard brawl against West Virginia. Pitt's got a new offense this year. They're going up tempo. They're throwing the ball all over the place. They play fast. And West Virginia's secondary looked terrible 2 weeks in a row. Their offensive line is a step down from last year. Quarterback plays questionable. Money's been coming in on Pitt. I'll play them. If you can get the plus 7 with South Carolina against LSU, I'd play that as well. South Carolina at home. It looks like there's going to be some bad weather for this game. LSU can't get the ground game going. The offensive line doesn't look as good as it was supposed to be. Nussmeier's been good, but the efficiency of LSU's offense has dropped off. And if South Carolina can just pin its ears back and rush in the rain, they should be able to limit this game. LSU's defense has been better this year than last year. So we'll look to South Carolina plus the 7. You could sprinkle a little on the under. So to recap, Pitt plus 1, Florida plus 3, Tulsa plus 19, South Carolina plus 7, Arizona and Kansas State going over 60 tonight. Utah State going under 43.5. In the UFC main event, I play Mehran Dawalishvili. I know everyone's going to be playing Sean O'Malley. Yeah. Everyone out here loves Sean O'Malley. I'm going the other way. The price has swung 55 cents. Everyone's betting O'Malley. I'm going to play Mehran. I think this game, this fight is priced to go deep, over under 4.5 rounds. The deeper it goes, the more it favors Mehran. So I'm going to play Mehran. Co-main, I'll probably have a little bit on Shevchenko. The age isn't necessarily worrying me here. I think the pricing's good on that. And then I'm looking at T-City, Brian Ortega over Diego Lopez. So three dogs to end the card there. It's going to be three dogs in a row. Ortega, Shevchenko, Dawalishvili.
This segment with Joe Fartball was brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Joe, you're the best, buddy. Enjoy the fights. And I'm pleased to see that you're going to be I've just scratched off the possibility of holding my my wake whatever they're calling it, the dome
the
thing.
Sphere.
I like to call it the dome. It's just too much money. It's too much for me to
too much to hold the wake there.
Great stuff, though, Joe.
I'll find somewhere bigger.
Great stuff this week.
Yeah. Well, you got to go Soldier Field. Bring them all back. Everyone from 85, bring them all back. We'll celebrate the way, right way.
Take care.
You're the best, buddy. See ya.
Yeah, boys.
$1 million to rehearse.
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
The Sphere.
That was an expensive place to build, though. It's very cool.
Have you been there?
Not inside.
Okay.
But it's just something
to
behold.
Yeah, I've driven by it, but it's like, good God. I had a friend went and saw, The Dead. They do like a show of the dead. The Dead is no longer with us. No, they're a band, but Jerry Garcia's gone. But they just have all the music. Said it was unbelievable. Hmm. Kind of mind-boggling. All right. Anyway, be interesting to see what that looks like if indeed I end up watching it. We got so much to get to. We're going to get to
Ron Coomer's next.
The Coom Dog. Mullion, we'll find out if the Cubs are sweeping. Mullion on the score.